Welcome back. I'm Todd Zwillick. President Trump came to office promising to undo the North American Free Trade Agreement. He since decided to stay in the deal, but to renegotiate it. And those talks start today in Washington. There'll be more talks to come in Mexico and Canada in the weeks to come. NAFTA came into effect back in 1994. It's had a huge impact on trade between these three countries. Joining me to talk about the Trump administration's demands and what it means to renegotiate with Canada and Mexico in a global economy is Matt Gold. He's adjunct professor of law at Fordham University and the former deputy assistant U.S. trade representative for North America. Professor, welcome.
Nice to be here.
Nice to have you, sir. What's at stake here in these new negotiations over NAFTA, and how big of a negotiation are we talking about?
Not as big as people think. What's at stake is a series of technical problems with the agreement that the United States has been struggling with for more than 23 years that we'd like to fix. The Trump administration, as required by statute, published a wish list of about 50 to 70 things that we would like to change. And those issues have been trade irritants between the United States and Canada and the United States and Mexico for quite a long time.
Now, hang on. Saying technical issues around the margins that are irritants is a very different message from what President Trump ran on, promising to burn up NAFTA and undo a bad deal.
That's true. President Trump, and to be fair, also Bernie Sanders, pandered on the campaign trail to people's desire to scapegoat NAFTA in particular and trade agreements in general for a lot of problems that are not caused by NAFTA or trade agreements. Trump described NAFTA as being, well, on a scale from 1 to 100, about a 30. And those numbers are mine. He used words, but about a 30, and he promised to improve it to a 100. The reality is NAFTA is about a 92, and these negotiations, if we got everything on the wish list, it would be about a 95 or 6. We'll probably get less than a third of the items on the wish list, and we'll improve it from a 92 to a 93 or a 94.
Give me a sense of what's on the wish list and your best hope for getting to 94.
Well, two big issues that jump right out have to do with labor and the environment. This was the first agreement that required other countries entering into a free trade agreement with the United States to meet certain minimum labor standards and environmental standards, which was particularly important for us for Mexico. The original agreement negotiated by George H.W. Bush did not have those provisions, but when Bill Clinton came into office, he negotiated those, but they were not part of the main agreement since the main agreement was already completed by H.W. Bush before Clinton came into office. The labor and environmental provisions that Clinton added were side agreements, and because they were side agreements, they were not subject to the strong enforcement mechanisms of the main agreement. So they're there, but they're not enforceable. And one of the big things the United States has wanted is to make those requirements of Mexico and Canada part of the main agreement so that the United States can use the enforcement provisions of the main agreement. And I think we'll get that.
Well, I heard a bunch of experts the other day. I was actually delving into NAFTA a little bit. Matt Gold, you might be happy to hear that. But they were worrying out loud that negotiators might try to unscramble the eggs here. You know, that the economies of Mexico, Canada, and the United States aren't like yolks and whites. They said they're scrambled eggs. And they were actually concerned that there might be an effort to unscramble them, which you can't really do.
That's correct. You can't. The three economies are greatly integrated. There are many sectors that literally straddle the borders. The automotive sector, the way it straddles the U.S.-Canadian border, for example. There are component manufacturers on both sides of the border, assemblers on both sides of the border, markets on both sides of the border. Some subcomponents will pass forth across the border multiple times before they're in a finished automobile. And it is truly impossible for the United States to withdraw from NAFTA or Mexico and Canada. And what we've heard from all of the major American industrial and agricultural sectors since President Trump has been talking about renegotiating NAFTA since he came into office is do no harm. They want to make sure that whatever President Trump does, that he doesn't give up any concessions that we have, that he doesn't allow any new trade barriers to American goods and services from the United States going to Mexico and Canada, and that basically that he doesn't give up anything and doesn't go backwards in any way, only forward, which is one of the reasons why we're going to be going forward only to a small degree.
Well, and at the same time, Professor Matt Gold, the United States is one of only three parties in this renegotiation. Officials from Mexico have been warning that this is the worst possible political time for them to be doing this because they have an election coming up, I think next June, and any agreements that are reached, they're not sure if they can pass them.
That's correct. And negotiations would have to complete by January, February, or they'll have to be postponed for a full year, because at that point, the Mexicans will be full on into their presidential campaign season. The election doesn't happen until, I believe, July 1. And then even after that, the new president doesn't take the oath of office until the following December 1. So it would be a year break. So there is a rush to get this done by January, February. I don't think that will happen, but they're going to try.
Well, before we let you go, you know, you mentioned environmental and labor standards that were key in this agreement. President Trump is pulling the United States out of the Paris Climate Accords. Energy production is massive in all of these three countries, oil production and fossil fuels. How does our removal from Paris affect what people want to accomplish in the area of environmental protection? Because I'm sure they're connected.
Well, they are. Everyone is concerned about the Trump administration's commitment to the environment, and to refer to it as commitment to the environment might be a misnomer. It's lack of commitment to the environment. And so it becomes, for the first time, a concern of other countries that the United States will continue to meet international environmental standards. So for that reason and other reasons, it's considered very, very important that the environmental rules in NAFTA be brought into the main agreement and therefore enforceable.
New negotiations rejiggering the NAFTA deal start today in Washington, Canada, the United States, and Mexico. More negotiations to come. And Matt Gold, the Deputy Assistant U.S. Trade Representative for North America, the former one, says, really, they're just tinkering around the edges. They're not going to try to unscramble the eggs. Matt Gold, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
And let's stay now with our coverage of NAFTA, because a renegotiation of that trade deal begins today. And because of that deal, agriculture and how North America trades in food is very different than it was 23 years ago when NAFTA came on the scene. America's total agriculture exports to Canada and Mexico went from $9 billion in 1993 to $41 billion in 2014. And those two countries are now by far America's biggest importer for products like corn and pork and beef. Now, the effect of NAFTA trade has also been felt among the workers in all three countries who've had to cope with a rapidly changing industry. Karen Hansen-Kuhn is here. She's Director of Trade and Global Governance at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. Karen, welcome.
Hello.
I just mentioned a huge increase in trade to Canada and Mexico. So it seems like, at least in this sector, the U.S. has won big.
I think an interesting way to understand what's happened with agricultural trade is to look at the story of corn. Corn is hugely important in Mexico for both livelihoods and cultural reasons. And at the same time NAFTA began, we had a shift in U.S. farm policy that told farmers to get big or get out, that no matter how low the prices dropped, they should rely on exports to make up the difference. So after NAFTA, when the trade barriers were down, corn exports to Mexico increased 400%. More than 2 million Mexican farmers were driven out of agriculture. Some of those farmers went to cities, some came north, but they were off their lands. So maybe we think, well, so maybe Mexico lost. But in fact, in the U.S., it hasn't been so rosy either. We've lost more than 200,000 small and medium-scale farmers since NAFTA began. And some of that is about this idea of get big or get out. Farm prices have been really low. So what we've seen is more consolidation in agriculture, fewer very big farms, fewer very big companies controlling what happens. Of course, the bigger question is what it means for our food system.
Well, it sounds then like the winners may have been big corporate farm companies and the losers may have been the people who worked on farms before NAFTA.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, I think generally, if we look at what's happened in manufacturing, farming, and other sectors, the trade agreement is set up to facilitate flows of investment and trade. So the way it is written, which I have to say is not the only way it could be written, tends to favor those bigger actors.
Do we know then, Karen, what in the agriculture chapter the Trump administration may be going for in a renegotiation? And is there any chance that the dynamics you're talking about might change at least a little bit in this renegotiation?
Well, if you talk to anyone in civil society groups in the three countries, the first thing we want is transparency. We want to know exactly what it is they're negotiating, because we don't know. But what we've heard is that they want to insert a lot of the provisions from the failed Trans-Pacific Partnership. So our concern is that rather than fixing the problem we have, in agriculture they'll try and dismantle Canada's successful dairy supply management program. And in Mexico, they'll try and expand exports of genetically modified seeds, something that's been prohibited up to now.
It's a little bit confusing hearing you say that, Karen Hansen-Kuhn, because the president's platform when he was running for president was, of course, a NAFTA that was more friendly to American workers. Are you saying that that doesn't necessarily include small farmers or farm workers at all?
Well, it doesn't seem like it. I mean, and I agree, it is surprising. And one of the first things President Trump did in office was to withdraw from this failed Trans-Pacific Partnership, which for precisely the reasons many of us had been challenging it, and now they say, oh, well, that's the starting point. We want to go even beyond what they tried to do in that agreement. As I said, it's just starting, so it's an important time for people to be weighing in.
Karen Hansen-Kuhn, Director of Trade and Global Governance at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.